Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Thursday, October 3rd, 2013. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about a variety of things, but let me put you on notice that tonight it's one of those nights again where it's going to be a little bit short. I'll have to cut the show short, probably about 8:30. But we can still cover a lot of information between now and then, especially since we don't have commercials here. excuse me. There's all sorts of craziness going on, so if there's anything specific you want to talk about, please post it in the chat room, call in, do something like that, and let me know what you're thinking about. The other is, it's almost like, where do you begin to talk about everything that's totally hosed up in this country today? I mean, it's just amazing how bad a shape we're in. And the good news is there's a lot of Americans that are waking up. I'm telling you, that's been the silver lining of the BHO administration. So many people have woken up and realized something's going on, and to stop giving blind faith to what is being said. And that's because of this massive, massive, and I mean, to the White House occupiers' credit, he openly said he wanted to transform America. He wanted to take America. He never defined what that meant. He did not really say, "Well, I want it to be a communist country," but that's what it meant. That we're all going to be the peasants, and he's going to be the king. And that's what his mentality has been all along. And the sad part is we've got idiots like John McCain and Lindsey Graham out there that are saying, yeah, let's go for it. I mean, John McCain, I was watching The Blaze last night, and they had this show. They have a weekly show for the record. And it was talking about the Muslim Brotherhood. And, of course, they have this shot of John McCain while he's traveling about, supposedly being the superhero that he thinks he is. World leader, crapola, and he's standing there right in the middle of a gang of Muslim Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood gang of individuals. And it's like, McCain, do you not understand who these people are? Are you really this naive? Are you really this stupid? Or are you just an extremely liberal, progressive rhino who believes that communism is there? I mean, see, you're okay saying this because you've got lots of money, and you think that you're going to be protected, and, of course, you're getting older anyway. And so you don't care what you're doing to the future of this country. You're disgusting. And anyway, they showed this shot on there, and it's like, you know, we've been talking about it. I mean, it was well over a year ago, maybe close to 2 years now. We've been doing the show, it's a little over 2 years now. So definitely over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. We started talking about the impact of Muslims on this culture and on this country. And that's, you know, little by little, we keep learning more and more. And, I mean, most Americans are totally ignorant to the Muslim faith, and I definitely don't claim to be an expert on it. But we just, you know, the freedom of religion. It's something that we hold sacred in this country, freedom of religion. And what does that mean in the overall global event? When we talk about a global economy, what a global religion, talk about what that really means if you're a Muslim or if you're a Christian or if you're a Jew. What does that mean here in America? And it just, you know, and I definitely was like, hey, you have a right to believe what you want to believe, you know, as long as you don't interfere with what I'm doing. You know, if you want to believe in Allah instead of God as we think of it, then fine. Not really realizing what that meant. And, of course, it wasn't until just recent, I would say the last month or two, a couple of months, did I ever hear anything about the fact that Thomas Jefferson, was warning us about the Muslims and the Koran. And then you start piecing it together. It's like, wow, this is all the stuff that we were never taught. And how, as Americans believing in freedom of religion, never even truly thought about. But there is a limit to freedom of religion. You know, there really is. Some people are going to be really upset that I said such a thing, but there is. And for the United States of America, if you are a Muslim, and if you follow the Quran, Muslim doctrine, whatever, you can't believe it. You can't truly be an American. You don't believe anything in what America is. And that's a fact. I mean, that's nothing that I came up with. That just happens to be the case. How can you believe in Sharia? And most people say Sharia law, but Sharia is the law. How can you believe in Sharia and be an American? Sharia says you can kill women for being raped. You can chop off their heads. And that women are, in fact, the property of a man. The women are substandard individuals, the people. That's what, if you believe in Sharia, that's what it is. You believe in honor killings because a young woman had sex before she got married. So you have, as under Sharia, you can kill her. An honor killing, as they call it. I mean, there's all these kind of crazy things in Sharia that are totally violation of what our Constitution and our core beliefs are. And the interesting thing, you hate to go and say this, but, you know, the fact is the Muslim, especially the Muslim Brotherhood, now when you think of Muslims, think of Muslim Brotherhood. Now, when you think of the Muslims, the general population of the Muslims, their goal is the same, even though their approach may be different. It's their goal is still to destroy the United States of America and to kill all Christians and kill all Jews. But they won't be quite as open about it, and they won't be as military or whatever you want to call it with what the Muslim Brotherhood is. Muslim Brotherhood is like the army against the Christians and the Jews. And if you don't think that they haven't somehow infiltrated this country and they're not sitting there, then you're not paying attention. If you think that the Muslim Brotherhood and the Muslim is trying to take down this country are not real, then you obviously weren't paying attention for 9/11. You don't think that really happened. I don't know who you think did it, but you don't know who how it happened. And then the other is the Boston Massacre. And, of course, all the various other ones that were caught that nothing happened, nobody was killed, you know, the underwear bomber and all these things. So the reason I'm getting on this subject is to see, I mean, to see what they really are, see what these people really are, and to recognize the enemy. You can't defend yourself if you don't know who the enemy is. Seems pretty simple and basic, doesn't it? I mean, if you don't know who the enemy is. And it's not to say they're going to come jump out with a big old hat on their head saying Muslim Brotherhood, but you have to understand the Muslim Brotherhood is in this country and they want to destroy this country and they want to kill all Christians. That's what they're doing in parts of the world. That's what they have been doing in other parts of the world. And I find it interesting, amazing, whatever you want to call it, here locally, we have a case where many Americans support Israel, religious persecution. I mean, everything that we believe in, you know, Israel has a right to exist. So we're out there talking about supporting them and trying to help them and that we can never abandon Israel, which I don't suggest that we do, because they are one of our strongest allies. At the same time, we're somehow timid about addressing the issue right here at home. It's really no wonder that there is no homeland security. I mean, we have this department called homeland security, but it doesn't really mean anything. They don't secure the border, we know that. And they won't say jihadist when it comes to these people. They won't call the Fort Hood a jihadist. The idiots like Harry Reid, he'll go out there and be calling people who believe in the Constitution, believe in limited government, he'll call us jihadists or whoever it was that was out there doing that. I think it was actually somebody in the House that said it, but they'll call us every name in the book. Can't remember. Harry Reid is calling us something terrorist. And we've been called just about everything because we believe in the Constitution. Yet they won't say anything about the true Muslim jihadists that are out there trying to destroy this country. There's something sick about what these people are doing. Even if you happen, I mean, we're talking about going over there, with the chemical warfare, trying to protect the children. Yet we're okay with what's going on here. And the massacre, the massive massacre that's going to take place in this country at the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood and other, and I'll leave room for other anti-Americans to be part of that, but the Muslim Brotherhood is probably going to be the leading charge. We just don't want to talk about defending ourselves. And this is crazy, people. We've got this here. You've got this military action. What it is, with these people coming after us because they don't like us. Now, going back to some of the things Ron Paul has said in the past, we've gone over there and been harassing different cultures and throwing our weight around in the world and trying to tell other countries how to run their lives and everything else. And so they're going to be visitful of us. Well, you know, if we want to have some Sharia, Muslim Brotherhood Sharia country out there someplace by itself, fine. But the problem is when they start coming to our house and trying to take over us and our allies. All you got to do is look out the window. When I say window to the world, not your house. Just look out there and see what is going on around the world and what is happening to the Christians and the Jews. So there's definitely a war on Christianity. And the fact is the war on Christianity is right here in this country. And the sad part, and I've been fussing about it, but, you know, some people seem to think I'm crazy. The sad part is the Christian faith is not even protecting the Christian faith. Okay, so who's protecting it? It amazes me that so many people of the Christian faith don't think they need to do anything to protect it. Trust me, I believe prayer is extremely powerful, I believe it's powerful for many reasons, in many ways, but that doesn't mean you don't defend yourself. And I'm telling you, there's people that today, I think, would not defend themselves. I'm like, okay, and you know, and I've said this expression a couple times before, and I'll say it again. As the Christian faith goes, all kind of thing, and if we are not able to save the Christian and Jewish race here in the United States of America, there will never be another free society. The Christians will be dead. The last Christians on this planet will probably be here in America. Egypt, luckily, is out there fighting, and they're trying to do something about it, so maybe they will survive. Maybe they'll survive longer than us. I don't know. But the American Christian better wake up and see what's going on in their own religious faith. You better while you may be doing all the praying you can do, and I would definitely not discourage that, you better think about what you need to do to defend your religion because it's under attack. And if you're happy just on the pride lines and say, "Dear Lord, please protect my religion. I'm going to sit here and watch TV while you do the work," then that's not going to happen. It's only going to be protected if, in fact, the Christian people and the Jewish people stand up and protect it. That's all there is to it. Now, getting on to some other stuff that was happening. You know, first off, the Truckers March on D.C., which is next weekend, 11th, 12th, and 13th, a week from tomorrow, I have not heard anything about it this past week. It was very obvious that Facebook didn't like it because the Facebook shut down their page. But I find it interesting that all of a sudden there's like no talk about it. I have not heard anything in the news anymore rallying about it. So if you've heard anything else, please let me know. I'll be honest, I haven't gone out there and actually done a search on it. I just haven't seen the emails flying and the ongoing rallying to it and that kind of stuff. So I hope it's still well underway, and maybe there are some who decided that they had to keep it a little bit lower, keep the messaging, the plans underground, so to speak, because there would be an attack from above with being shut down, Facebook and these kind of things. And I might try to go find my website on that and see if there's any other updates on it. And we'll talk a little bit about transportation, too, tonight. speaking of twerking. But I thought that was just, it's interesting. I definitely am promoting and hoping that they really do go forward. Because, you know, I said called the show The Second American Revolution Is Now. Right now, there's so many things happening, and I think so much can truly make a big difference in the direction we go. What happens what with this government shutdown and this stuff? This is part of a revolution, people. And like we said, we can have a peaceful revolution. There does not have to be all this blood splatter to have a revolution. We can have this revolution right now, demanding that they change their ways in Washington, D.C. This is our country, not theirs. They seem to forget that. So you've got to really keep the pressure on, keep making the phone calls, all that stuff. And, you know, some of you, I'm sure, heard about Boehner, Boner, Bonehead, whatever you want to call him, the so-called GOP Speaker of the House, sneaking in to have a meeting with Obama so they can go and wheel and deal with Obama and with Reid, wheel and deal to get the exemption for Congress. Congress doesn't want this piece of garbage health care system. Why should we have to have this? We're here. Give us a waiver to it, too, Mr. President, and I'll do what you want. Boehner should not be the speaker of the GOP. Well, let me take that back. I was going to say Boehner shouldn't be the speaker of the GOP, but actually, Boehner is the face of the GOP. He is a liberal progressive, sleazeball, who does all these backroom deals while he goes out there and pretends to hear about conservative values, the Republican value kind of thing. Boehner truly is the picture of the GOP. So when you want to say what is the GOP, just look at Boehner. He says all the right things in front of the camera, but then he goes out and he does everything he can behind your back. He is stabbing you in the back every time he speaks. He's stabbing you in the back bigger than idiots like Harry Reid. Because Harry Reid's out there openly saying, oh, you're a bunch of racist, jihadist, terrorist, whatever else, anarchist, whatever it is he's out there talking, all the other crap that he's out there spewing, calling us every kind of name in the book. If you believe in the Constitution, you're just weird. I mean, that's Harry Reid. Everybody should call up Harry Reid's office and say, you mean to tell me just because we believe in the Constitution, we're bad? Do you believe in it, Mr. Harry Reid? When was the last time you read the Constitution, Mr. Harry Reid? Where in the Constitution does it say this? No, it doesn't say it. So what makes you God, Mr. Harry Reid? The guy is so despicable. But then he's right there with Boehner. I mean, you think about those who keep seeing with Harry Reid. You end up with John McCain over there and Boehner on the other side. What a bunch. And we want to know why the GOP is in such trouble. Which, speaking of the GOP, let's go ahead and put it out there about the defund the GOP. Go ahead, defund it. We've been telling you that all along here. I mean, I shouldn't say it. I've been continually saying, do not fund, do not donate money, contribute money to any of these political parties, the GOP or the Democrats. Don't do it. If you have a candidate you like and you truly believe in, give the money to that candidate, or more importantly, do things to help them out with their campaign. Yes, money does help, and there's all sorts of things you can do with the money, sending out the flyers and paying the filing fees and whatever else. But the thing is, don't give it to the parties. And if you're giving it to the individual campaign itself, make sure they're not somehow dumping it back into the big old pot for the GOP, because that's not what it's for. If they're not going to use your money for their campaign, then tell them to give it back to you. Because you're supporting and at the same time, when you find that out, you may not want to support them because they are a GOP establishment person. And I don't want anything to do with any GOP establishment people like John Boehner, like Lindsey Graham, like John McCain. This is why the GOP is failing. If they don't get some strong conservatives in there, borderline libertarians, probably closer to libertarians than anything else, such as Rand Paul, Ted Lee, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, and, you know, some of these people. And there are others, sorry, those are just the ones we keep talking about right now. The GOP doesn't stand a chance. I have said, and I posted it a month and a half ago, the GOP will be DOA on Election Day 2014 if they do not defeat Obamacare and they do not defeat amnesty. If either of those two things are allowed to go out of control, anything to do with amnesty, they're dead. Forget it. The GOP is gone. And I think people should be looking what happened to good old Mr. Rubio on that one. Your party's not going to survive. And then when it comes to Obamacare, now, you know, the totally repeal and replace and all that, everybody understands you're not going to repeal anything with the current White House occupier. But you can do things to minimize it. You can do things to prove what the problem is. And now the strategy when it comes to defund Obamacare, or to eliminate it, you know, I really have mixed emotions. Because part of me is definitely on that side of saying, once it's there, it'll never go away. There's this other party that says, once it's there and people see how much they get stabbed in the back with it, they're going to run from it. And it's hard to say which way is the better strategy. But I am definitely totally in support of the Republicans to continue. Now, I should say the conservatives, not really Republicans, because being Republicans don't mean anything. The conservative constitutionalist individuals, those who believe in limited government and maximum rights, those who truly believe in what this country was founded on, for them to continue to push on to fight it to the limit, fight it to the very, very limit. I think it's good because it's going to prove who the real evildoers are. It's going to prove that the Democrats don't care about the people. Now they're literally trying to bribe the young people into signing up for Obamacare with a free telephone. I mean, come on, what does that tell you when they have to bribe you to buy something that you said is wonderful but you won't use yourself? It's so wonderful we don't believe in using it ourselves. So wonderful you can have it but we don't want it. It's so wonderful here, go out there and buy it and we'll give you a free phone because we know you'll never do it without anything free. And there's just so many pieces to it. I mean, I've been hearing different horror stories about those who have gone out there to try to get into it or to learn about it. They end up qualifying for Medicaid, which is going to kill the states. So they don't need to go on Obamacare because they qualify for Medicaid. And now all this money, all these Medicaid individuals are going to be dumped on the state. Who's going to pay for it there? And then, I'm telling you, I don't want to misstate any of it, but on Tuesday's show, which was American Freedom Watch Radio that we do on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman here, on Tuesdays, we had Christine Timmons on. You've got to go listen to it. Go back to Tuesday's show and listen to it. She came on about 15, 20 minutes into the show, and she was on just about to the very end. And she was going into the truth about Obamacare and what the Constitution is, the way that they're fighting it now. Again, I don't want to misstate anything, so I'm going to go back and play it and listen to it and have your pencil and paper handy and take some notes. But there's so many things that are wrong on a constitutional level that was never addressed at the Supreme Court. So there is another effort underway, and it's really being done from the individual level versus what the states were trying to do and this kind of stuff. So I think it's going to be interesting, but again, I don't want to misstate any of the details. So please go back and listen to it and make some notes. And I'm going to actually go back and replay it myself again because I will take some better notes. When I was doing the show, sometimes it's harder for me to take notes and stuff while I'm trying to take care of the switchboard and the chat room and some other things. So please go back and listen to it. The other thing was the amnesty, the role of the states in immigration, and how what they're doing. It came down to and again, I'm not going to be quoting her exactly, but the gist of it was, based on the states have the rights in reference to immigration. They have a lot of rights in reference to immigration. And I believe she said Article 6. Go look at Article 6. And for all these who have been given amnesty through this process, the states, we can go out there and declare it all moot because it's invalid. What they've done is unconstitutional and illegal. So a lot of these illegals that the White House occupier has been writing his executive orders for, giving amnesty to, we can go back in and say, sorry, you were illegally determined to be a citizen and you're not one. You have to go through the normal process or you're not going to be one. You are not legally a citizen with what they've done. So a very interesting show, and you really need to go back. And let's see, I say she came on to the show about 15, 20 minutes into the show and was there almost the entire time. And very interesting information. Christine Timmons. Excuse me. And let's see, what else? The something happened in D.C. today, and I truth is, I just don't have the full story. I caught maybe 2 minutes of different clips on it as to what happened. Something about a lady in a car, excuse me, a lady driving this car who drove into the fence or hit a security officer, ran out, I don't know. Some lady was just going nuts driving around in D.C. And I thought it was kind of interesting. The lady's in a car. And who knows? I mean, obviously there's a lot of things you could, as a security measure, could speculate on what could be going on with this person, what was in the car, whatever else. I mean, there's all the different things you could think of or what could happen. But when they said that the Capitol was on lockdown, I thought that was a little bit strange, a little bit extreme. I mean, obviously, you know, you might be a little bit more careful of who's coming in, I guess. I don't know. It was just all kind of strange. I thought, well, maybe they shouldn't have been on lockdown and they should have been paying closer attention to who was coming in. Maybe they would have found something they needed to know. I don't know. Anyway, if anybody has any information on that, please let me know. I have not seen the full report on that. The other thing that was happening, which is just so absolutely despicable, but it shows the true colors of Harry Reid. He doesn't care about Democrats. He doesn't care about anybody but himself. He's a socialist, communist, whatever you want to call it, and he doesn't care about humans. You know, all the crazy games that they've done has no respect for the veterans of this country. And they've proven that by all the games they've played with the World War II memorial. And, I mean, it's with any of these memorials, but specifically the World War II memorial, because there were groups of World War II veterans coming to see it. And, you know, a World War II veteran is not going to be young, a young individual. They're going to be older. And not going to have very many chances left to see this in all likelihood. I mean, they may live for another 20 or 30 years, who knows. But most of them are elderly, and this was a very big opportunity for them to come see the World War II memorial. And the games our government has played, what this president has done with the help of Harry Reid to slap the face of these veterans, it's insulting. It's insulting. It shows what they really are. You've got to go and ask yourself. I mean, first off, I mean, if you want to say that there's no security on the mall, and you know, because D.C. has all these, has the mall, has the Washington Monument, has Lincoln Memorial, yeah, and of course the World War II Memorial, all these various memorials that are there in D.C., which is the appropriate place. It is the capital. Most of them are very self-serving in the sense that when it's light outside, you walk around, you see it. Now, I think, did they really have to turn off the water to the fountain? I don't think that was necessary. But okay, if they did, fine. If you have to cut back on these expenses, because of this CR nonsense that's going on, the funding, which there shouldn't be a CR, there should be a budget, but they don't understand that part. If you have to cut the cost and cut security around the mall, around that part of the Capitol, I think the District of Columbia, then okay, fine. Then to me, all they had to do was put up some notices due to the government shutdown. There will be limited security and facilities in this area. So just understand the lights will be off at night. Can't afford to put any lights on. There will be no lights. There will be no security. But you're more than welcome to be there. During the day, it doesn't matter. Now, again, you go to most of those memorials during the day. Some of them that you're going inside, you know, will be difficult if there's no electricity on in them. But there's so many things like Vietnam Memorial Wall. Then there's other Vietnam memorials. There's other, the World War II, the Washington Monument, they wouldn't obviously let you go up in the monument, but you could be right on the outside of it and taking it in. I've been to D.C. many times. I have never been up in the monument for two reasons. One time it was in repair. They were doing maintenance or whatever. And other times the line was just so long. I said, well, that's the only thing I'm going to do today, then I'll do that because I'd have to stand in line all day. And so I didn't do that. I went to other things. But anyway, the point is, when it's light outside, God gave us that sunlight. You don't need to have electric lights, and you don't need to have security. If especially when you're in large groups, you can protect yourself. You can defend yourself from the rain and stuff. Can't do much when it comes to true terrorism, like massacres, like Boston. You can be paying attention, maybe help, but that was nothing to do with this. This was all about how many ways can we sacrifice the American people to try to make the Republicans, the conservatives, the true conservatives, look bad. Anybody who believes in the Constitution, we're going to make them look bad by harming, suffering, causing pain, whatever you want to do, call it. We're going to show them how we can make you suffer because of what they're doing. And it's so petty, and it's so unethical. This is what we have in government today. Harry Reid is going to be one of the sleaziest out there. I mean, him and John McCain make an interesting twosome, I'll tell you. You know, John McCain, but I can't stand the guy anymore. I really cannot stand him. Just the thought of him, I can't listen. At one point, I would have given him some credit for knowing stuff, and he should know with all the time he's been in Congress and in the Senate, and all the time he's with his military background and stuff like that. He should be so different. But even now, he is a traitor. He's a treasonous traitor. He doesn't believe in this country anymore. He believes in globalization. He believes in the United Nation crap, one world order mentality. He doesn't believe in the United States anymore. And so many of them are like that. So these people are disgusting. They truly are. But you just think, how low can you go? Let's see. How far will these people stoop to be their own thing, to do their own deal, to destroy this country in the name of communism? And we better start calling it what it is, people. Communism, common core, communism, common property, community. And be careful with the way you use community these days, because while, you know, growing up when I would say community, it would be a group of us together, united as a group, but we were still individuals, united in certain beliefs, united in the belief of the Constitution, united in belief of one nation under God, united in the rights of the individual. That's what the community, the American community family was. We used the word community to mean we're one big family. All the families coming together was the community. And the family was the core. And then all the families come together as a community. But the word community, common, just got to understand, community, communism, community, common, communism, common, common property, common community. They're all related. So little by little, we've been being, as crazy as it sounds, little by little, we've been indoctrinated to being this mentality of communism without even realizing it. So I'm doing my best not to use the word community because of what the truth is to, much more to communism than it is to individualism. And America is about being individuals united, not communist, not the community all living under one bread feeder, if you will, and the community that's all dependent on what King Obama said. Because once King Obama has said it, really the Congress doesn't mean anything. He bypasses Congress anyway. So when the king is doing whatever he feels like, throwing his piddlings to the peasants to keep them happy and shut them up, that's the new American community. So I'm staying away from the word community. Let's see here. I want to make sure I touch on the key subjects before I get into the transportation. So if you really are disgusted, totally disgusted with what they did to the World War II veterans, the Greatest Generation, and that World War II memorial, please call every single one of these idiots who had anything to do with blocking that. And make sure you blast the White House, because they could have done something about it too. Obama does not have respect for the veterans of this country. Neither does the DNC, the liberal progressive Democrats by the masses. Because any Democrat that did not oppose what they were doing too is also a communist who needs to be called out. Because and truly, it doesn't matter who it is, it's on both sides. Anybody in Washington, D.C. that stood by watching that and didn't take some kind of action to protest what they were doing is beyond being a sleazeball. They really are, and they definitely have to be replaced. We've got to get rid of those kind of idiots in Washington, D.C. Okay, is anybody? The chat room is quiet tonight, but we'll see. And the other is getting into the NAFTA Superhighway. Defund the GOP. We talked about that some. I'm going to go ahead and say it again. Please listen. It was Glenn Beck who apparently got this thing started. Glenn Beck is where I first heard it. Of course, we've been promoting Defund the GOP here on American Statesman Blog Talk Radio for a very long time. You go back through the shows for the past year and see how many times we said, don't give your money to the parties. Do not give the money to these parties. Leave the parties, but if you're too scared, you don't want to leave the party because you won't get to vote in the primary, then at least don't give them your money. Force the political parties into bankruptcy. They've got their millionaires who are going to continue to fund them. There's only so much we can do about the millionaires who insist on spewing their money into them. But they get so much money from the individuals, from the grassroots. The grassroots has to stop funding the GOP. I would love for everyone to stop funding the GOP, but because of the GOP establishment and the corruption within it, like the Frank Vandersloot, for those of you who don't know who Frank Vandersloot is, he is the CEO and founder of Melaleuca. Melaleuca is a very big company. It's up in Idaho. It is a health wellness kind of company with a lot of health products. Focused on as natural products, focused on things that are supposed to be environmentally friendly. They're not organic. It's not that to that extreme or anything like that. They don't go to that extreme, I should say. But it is much more pure. They are much more pure. You have to go out there and you can read on their site. And I have been a customer of Melaleuca for several years. And I like a lot of their products. I really do. There's a lot of good products there. However, you got to go out there, do a search on Frank Vandersloot, which is VanderSloot, supports amnesty, promotes amnesty. And this is the CEO. This guy is rich. He's got multiple smaller corporations out there. He's another American dream. The success, what America has gave that guy the opportunity to be successful and to become what he has, and now he's trashing this country. Excuse me for 1 second. Hey, I'm back. Did not want to totally cough in your ear. This guy, you know, he's like Bill Gates in many ways. I don't know if he supports Common Core. I haven't seen that part yet. But it's these people who came up from nothing, very little of anything, to this massive success that this country gave them. They would have never done this anyplace else in the world. The success that they got here was all because of the opportunity that this country gave them. And yet they're the first ones to go out there and destroy it. And this guy, and I'm telling you, you go out there, Melaleuca, M-E-L-E-U, Melaleuca, M-E-L-A-L-E-U-C-A, Melaleuca, hopefully I spelled it right. Go out there and contact them. Let them know that you oppose amnesty and that if you are a customer of those, leave them. I did that. I announced it about a month ago. And this past week, I made it official. I not only told them that I didn't believe in what they were doing with amnesty, I said I'm not going to support any anti-American corporations. Frank Vandersloot is a traitor, and the reason why I brought him up in this discussion is we're talking about GOP. Frank Vandersloot is a major, major player in the GOP. He's in Idaho. And I'm sure if you go and you check out what's going on with the Idaho GOP, you'll see he's a key player in it and funds it heavily. But he was also a big supporter and campaign aide, what are you going to call it? He was involved in the Romney campaign as well. So here he was out there backing Romney, pushing Romney out there and major financial contributions and whatever else. And he is out there promoting amnesty, literally promoting amnesty. Not that he supports it. He not only supports it, he promotes it. And this is a guy who wants more slave labor. He wants to trash the American worker with the cheap labor. And it's just so disgusting. And as big as this guy is, he can afford to pay his employees a decent wage. And he's out there literally helping. And let's see if I can find my one note. Let me see if I can find the article where he actually said, and so I can quote it exactly. Okay, let's see here. There was an article, Melaleuca Vandersloot calls on Idaho businessmen to support amnesty. Read more at the IdahoStatesman.com, but you just do a search on Frank Vandersloot supports amnesty. That's Frank Vandersloot, or just look up Melaleuca, which is Melaleuca. And here's what he said. Let's see here. Okay. About a month. Okay, let's see. Ever the player in Idaho and national politics, Frank Vandersloot is throwing his weight behind helping undocumented workers gain citizenship. He is literally helping the undocumented / illegal gain citizenship. He doesn't care about the Americans, he cares about the illegals. In a conference call Wednesday, Vandersloot encouraged other business leaders to support a Senate bill introduced earlier in the day. He spoke to representatives of 21 business groups and organizations in Idaho and elsewhere, including chambers of commerce and trade associations. This is what this guy is. He's a major GOP establishment player. He is the face of the Republican Party. Backstabbers. That's what the GOP is. They are the backstabbers to the true Constitution to the American individual. They will trash this country when it suits their financial agenda. That's all this guy is. So I said, forget that. I still plan to send a formal letter to him, but I have not done that yet. But please go out there to there should be places for you to put comments or questions or whatever. Send it wherever you can there. But get their 800 number. Let's see if I can find an 800 for you. I'm not sure if I have it on this information here. To them. Go ahead. Here's two numbers. Get these two numbers. Call Melaleuca. 800-282-3000. That's 800-282-3000. Or you can fax it to them at 888-528-2090. 888-528-2090. Let them know that you are outraged by the CEO, Frank Vandersloot, who is an American success story. He is trashing the system that made him successful. And that's pretty disgusting. It really is. But more importantly, as I'm saying, first off, go ahead and close your account. Don't do business. Don't buy yourself, whatever. But more importantly is understand that he is the GOP. He is the face of today's GOP. And so this is why don't give them money. They can get money from this guy, fine. Let him give his money to them because he's a backstabbing traitor to the party and to the American people for what the party stands for. The party establishment loves him because they don't stand for anything anymore. And, you know, this, people say, why are you picking on the GOP? Well, the GOP is supposed to be the ones that were for smaller government and rule of law and constitutional values. They were individual rights. It just isn't what they're supposed to be. And I'm telling you, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican either, so I'm not neither one of them. But if I know anybody like a Frank Vandersloot, if I see what they're doing, they're promoting amnesty, I won't be their customer. I do my best to buy nothing from China. I do my best to buy nothing from Mexico. You can't totally do it 100% of the time, but I say I do it probably 90% of the time. I have done as much as I can to avoid supporting the evilness of those who want to take over this country. And people like Frank Vandersloot, he's not trying to take over the country in that sense, but he doesn't care about destroying it. He's not trying to protect it. Why doesn't he donate some of his money down there for border security instead of funding illegals? And that's a question to Frank Vandersloot. Excuse me. And in the letter I send him, I'm going to ask him that question. Why don't you take all this money, since you've got lots of money to give away to political parties, why don't you take some of this money and actually do something that would help America? Why don't you go out there and help fund the border patrol? Go out there and get the people down there that you pay to be assistants to. And all they have to do is they can be back and forth patrolling the border and contact the border patrol when they need to. And stuff like that. That's what you would do if you were a true American and you cared about this country. But Vandersloot doesn't care about this country. He cares about his bottom line, and he will sell out the American people, the American workers that made him rich so he can get cheap labor. But that is what so many of the GOP have turned into. The one world order, socialism, Agenda 21 nonsense, and the liberal progressives. That's what he is. And it's kind of like he's a liberal progressive standing right next to Romney. I mean, was Romney as bad as Obama? I don't think so. I don't think we'd be nearly in this mess if Romney was there. At the same time, do I believe if Romney was there, we'd be totally done away with Obamacare? I don't know that that's true. I think it would be different. I think it would have been changed. But I don't know that it would have been totally destroyed because of Romney care. It's not like Mitt Romney did not believe in socialized medicine. And let's face it, Massachusetts is not really known to be conservative. And that was him. Not to mention all the other crazy things that Romney did along the way. So anyway, defund the GOP. It's the right thing to do. They are not worthy of your money. Force the GOP into bankruptcy. Now, I know that's asking a lot, but you know what? I mean, again, we've been saying do not give money to the GOP. Do not waste your money. And I said right here, you know, if you've got money like that to waste, if you can afford to give money to any of these political parties, and especially the GOP, because they have truly, truly backstabbed their constituents, their base, if you got that kind of money, would you send it to me? I'm broke. I need some money. Please give me, if you got money to waste, send it this way. So far I haven't received any, but that's okay. There's just many more, there's better ways to waste your money than on the GOP. Other things that would actually help the economy and do good for us. So stay away. I'm into the GOP. And here, Glenn Beck, in this case, come out and say, defundthegop.com and the Facebook page, go for it. I think it's definitely the right thing to do. And we're going to get here on American States on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see. We've talked about the war on Christians. Truth about liberal progressives, Democrats, and Republicans. This kind of ties into what I was talking about with the stuff. We have to accept the fact we've been invaded by a very evil element. Liberal progressives, and some of them who were always liberal progressives and the most, they will say whatever they have to brainwash and get into office and okay, I am back. So it looks like either somebody at Blog Talk Radio didn't like what I was saying, or the NSA was out there. Who knows? Anyway, I got disconnected, but I'm back. Now I got to remember where I was at on that. I was talking about the liberal progressives and the Democrats and the Republicans. Just understand, and, you know, it's very difficult. There's so much information. There's so many things going on with our country today that it's difficult to have a handle on all of it. Lord only knows I don't. I keep informed probably more than, informed more than many Americans, but it's difficult. It definitely is difficult. You really have to work at it. But to remember, citizenship is not a spectator sport, and I'm not sure who initially said that was. Not an original for me, but I like it. And that we have to, we the people have to be engaged. And, you know, they've been out there hammering away as much as they can at Ted Cruz. And you got to give the guy credit. He's standing his ground on not believing in Obamacare, saying to defeat it. Same with Mike Lee and Rand Paul. But he's been the one who's been out, you know, with the 21-hour speech. It was not a filibuster, but it was a speech on the Senate floor, to make people aware, make people become engaged, get people involved. That's what we have to do. We have to rally the troops and bring the American people out of the shadows. It's the American people that are in the shadows. Forget the illegals in the shadows crap, I tell you. It's get the American people out of the shadows and step forward to what is your country and your role in it. You cannot assume, and you got to get over that dumbing down that they did to you in public school, to say you elect somebody and then they go take care of everything. You elect them, they take care of everything. You elect them, no. No, you have got to be engaged. You have got to go to public meetings. You have got to be informed. You have got to call these people and let them know what's going on. Remind them that they work for you. And right now, because we haven't paid attention as a whole, we have been taken over, invaded and taken over by a bunch of anti-American, communist, liberal progressives, and it doesn't matter what party they're in. It's both. Both parties are doing this. And just look at the ones who are helping the Muslim Brotherhood, aiding the Muslims. We have a president who's a Muslim who aids the Muslim Brotherhood. The only reason any president would ever aid the Muslim Brotherhood is because they are anti-American and want to destroy this country. That's all there is to it. And you know, this one source, this is all over the place about these people being his friends in the White House and people noticing when he takes off his watch and things like that for different Muslim rituals when they don't wear the jewelry or whatever it is, all these various things that they do as part of their culture and their religion, he follows those. He's a Muslim, people. And the fact is, Muslims do not believe in the American way. That's all there is to it. The people who were Muslims, who left, who were escaping the Muslim Islamist faith, came to America and changed their ways. So the fact that you were a Muslim at one point in your life doesn't mean you will forever be one. And you might be escaping it. And right now, if you don't say you're a Muslim, you get your head lopped off if you admit that you're a Christian or a Jew. But they're doing everything they can to persecute the Jews and the Christians. And that's going to happen in this country, too. They can't do it quite so openly, but because Americans keep sliding back, keep turning away, this is what's happening. They're taking over while we sit on the sidelines, sit on the couch watching a Super Bowl game or an NBA game or whatever kind of nonsense, while the country's being taken over. And it looks like the Tea Party patrons have called on me. Oh, well, sorry, folks. Can't take your call right now. Of course, I know what they're wanting, too. Money. The Tea Party Patriots, I left them a while back because when they first formed, this was before the election, they didn't like anybody who criticized the Republicans. I was banned from posting on their site, so I really don't do a whole lot with them anymore either. They changed their ways. They're actually condemning some of the things the GOP are doing now, too, but which is good. And it's not a matter of being the Republican Party versus the Democrats. It's that the Republicans claim to be for something else, and they're not. They're just a bunch of liars and a bunch of hypocrites, backstabbing liars like Boehner. So call up Boehner and tell him he's a backstabbing liar. Let's see. I did have his number here handy, but let's see if I can find it now in my stack of papers. I really do have to clear out this desk. Someday I'll do it. Anyway, let's see here. Okay. I have it. Sorry about that. Someplace I have it, but you can easily look up Boehner's name, speaker. Call his house number, the house speaker, the office of the speaker of the house. You can call that and leave a message, a voicemail. Go ahead and call. Tell him he's a backstabbing traitor. And Ohio, would you please grow a pair and not reelect this idiot? Why do you keep reelecting him? Of course, I have often thought, too, it's like, well, if he thinks he still can get reelected, then he'll be a little bit more careful about what he does in public. He'll still be doing his backroom deals and stabbing in the back, but he's going to be out front when it comes to, he had no choice when it came to defunding Obamacare at the House because he was getting so much pressure from the people and, of course, the other Republicans and the true conservatives in the House. So he was somewhat forced to do that. But on these other deals, know that he wouldn't have done that on his own. He would have never, never stood up to defund Obamacare on his own because he's a coward. He's a coward, and he doesn't care about the people. He's a backstabber. He's a GOP establishment person. But anyway, getting back to the point, while he's out there thinking about, while he's out there trying to defend his job, it's all fine and dandy. Okay, defend his job right now. But when it comes time to walk in that voting booth, you know, feed that ballot into the machine, whatever, you really need to think twice. Stop making the same mistake over and over again. As I said today, in public office today, I think there's only one person in public office today that I, well, two. There are two people I voted for. On a local Orange County Commission, I did vote for Pete Clark. And at the state level, I voted for Pam Bondi. Pete Clark, the jury's out. Haven't seen enough of him to see what he's really doing. I'll see what he, what I'm going to be paying close attention to some of the things he's doing. Pam Bondi, I'll never vote for her again. And I, at any level. She can go run for Congress next if she wants to, but I'm going to do what I can to trash her so she doesn't get elected, in the sense of telling people the truth. I don't have to trash anybody by lying about it. I'm going to say this is what she was. She promised to be this. I've contacted her office probably 10 times, and I have never once got a response. And that was email, fax, mail, calls, nothing. But Pam Bondi, I'm writing you off. You fooled me once, okay, you won't fool me again. I will vote for you again. Let's see here. Now let's, well, we've got about a half hour left here. Like I said, tonight's going to be a short show because I've got work to do, and I'm going to have to finish my job, finish the show, and then get to work. Let's talk a little bit about the NAFTA Superhighway. This NAFTA Superhighway, I mean, we in the beginning we saw this straight road go, this massive highway going up through the middle of the country, connecting Canada and Mexico. It was all part of George Bush, not Obama. George Bush started this. George Bush Sr. is the one who really started it, but he started it with the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America, but it also ties into NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, and it's all part of the North American Union. This was all part of Sustainable Development, Agenda 21, One World Order, and this was the way the United States was going to be destroyed, absolved, if you will, but no, we will no longer be the United States of America, or the North American Union, with states. And I'm not talking about the states like we have today, the regions and stuff like that. So the whole rule was going to change as part of this North American Union, which was George Bush. George W. Bush, who did this, the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America, but then, of course, you know who NAFTA was under. And Ross Perot warned everybody about NAFTA, but, you know, once again, it was the GOPs that were in it just as much as anybody else. So these people are doing everything they can to destroy the United States of America. This NAFTA highway, you have to go out there and see. You can go out there. The let's see. There's a website. It's called peaktraffic.org. Peaktraffic.org. NAFTA superhighways, and it gives you the map. It shows you how they're running this through, and which ones they're planning on doing this to. And you really got to go out there and look at what's happening here. And this is these are people destroying this country, making the North American Union, and destroying the United States of America. And then you just think about, I mean, look at the problems we have today securing that border. Just imagine what's going to happen when this happens. And it's I-69, I-35, and the rest of the network of highway expansions between Canada and Mexico. It's all an attempt to merge us into one. Okay, let's see. The planning for NAFTA superhighways is predicated on continued cheap and abundant gasoline, an assumption that is about to receive sobering reality from the underlying geological limits of petroleum production. Of course, we know there's other options to the regular gas, but that's another story. We won't get into that right now. NAFTA superhighways are essentially a key component of further globalization of commodity production intended to homogenize local communities, there's that word, communities, and further centralize control over manufacturing. West Coast port terminals are clogged with a flood of cheap crap entering the U.S. from China, and there are limited access routes between those ports and the rest of the country. If you buy something from China in a Walmart or India or Indiana or Tennessee, it's likely first had its path through Long Beach. Now, remember, when they say Long Beach, we literally gave, and I shouldn't say literally, we gave the Long Beach naval base to a Chinese company. This was under Clinton's helm. They were closing all these different military bases. Can't have security at home, right? Security on the homeland, we can't have that. And so the Long Beach Naval Base, they closed it, and now it's owned and controlled by a Chinese company. So we gave a naval training base to a Chinese company. How stupid are these people? And how stupid are we for letting them do this crap and get away with it? So it most likely had to pass through Long Beach. And so when you hear that means, let's see, Long Beach Naval Base that we gave to China. Oakland and Portland or Seattle area ports upgrading highway. Well, let me read that again just so you get this. It's likely first had to pass through Long Beach, Oakland, Portland, or Seattle area ports. Upgrading highway and rail connections to Mexican Pacific Coast ports would allow these importers to expand, further increasing U.S. dependency on Asian sweatshops. Now, doesn't that make you feel proud as an American? Isn't that what we want to do? We want to expand our highway system so that Mexico and the other Asian sweatshops have easy access to sell us their products. We can't manufacture anything on our own. We can't take care of ourselves. But then again, we don't matter because the United States of America is gone. We're now part of the North American Union. This is what's happening, people. This is real. Wake up. It will be interesting to see if there is a price point oil that forces some relocation of production banks into the U.S. How high does oil have to cost for it to be cheaper to pay higher wages in the U.S. than to exploit low-wage workers in China or other offshore locations? Of course, more freight routes in Mexico may facilitate increased movement of U.S. factories south of the border, which is closer for distribution networks than Asia. And this is the whole point. And now, think about everything I just said there, and think about Frank Vandersloot, where he wants to promote amnesty. This is all about slave labor, and it's destroying the middle class, destroying the United States of America, destroying the middle class. This is what it is. We have these people who are supposed to work on behalf of our best interest, and they keep stabbing us in the back. I'm telling you, the majority of people in public office today are nothing but a bunch of backstabbing traitors. And think about the list of those who aren't. There's a short list, a very short list. And you know, over the years, I've talked to so many people, amnesty, everybody's human. They're human. They're not illegal. They're human. They're human. It's like, do you not understand what they're doing to you? Do you not? You know what? If they wanted to have a telethon to do something to go truly take down the corrupt government of Mexico, then I'd be in favor of trying to help Mexico, help the decent Mexican people. But Mexico, it is a very rich country. There is absolutely no reason why Mexico is not successful, except that it's corrupt. So all we do is keep supporting corruption. Why do we not do? I mean, if we're going to take over a country, why don't we take over Mexico? I'm not saying I really want to be poor. Not that I really want to do that, but I'm saying when we talk about national security interests, wouldn't Mexico be a much better choice? Look at all the Muslims and the Chinese nationals and every other kind of American hater, anti-American, comes through that southern border, not to mention all the drugs and all the other problems. So if we're going to try to defend this country, if they really care about defending the United States of America, wouldn't that be the place you'd go? And as I've stated in the past, illegal immigration is not strictly the southern border. It's only it's one major source of it. It's source of it, but not the only source. We have, because the ports, all the ports, every port is a place of illegal immigration. The visas and also the illegal immigration that goes illegal because they don't monitor it. We have illegal immigration all over. We're being invaded by multiple anti-American factions, including La Raza, which is the Latinos, whether they're from Mexico or Cuba or any place else. Then you have the Muslim Brotherhood, who hate Americans and believe all Christians and Jews should be dead. And then you have the Chinese nationals, who just hate America. They want to be the superpower, and we've done everything to make them the superpower. We have literally surrendered our power and control over to China. And also, depending on if you believe it or not, where the eminent domain is being given to China in the event they have rights to American property if the United States of America doesn't pay us debt. And I'm waiting for Obama to do that. So, nope, we're not going to pay them. We're going to let China come in and take over. Now, he's really more in support of the Muslim Brotherhood, so he might not like that. Who knows? But that's a part of it. Let's see here. I continue to look at this corridor. You really have to go out there and look at what these are and see what they're doing. And the other part that I've got to make sure I get in before we finish this. This morning, I was listening to C-SPAN on the Internet, and they were replaying a transportation meeting, committee meeting. And girl Boxer, Barbara Boxer, she was the chair of it. overall, the interesting part was they were looking for an alternative to the gas tax. They keep complaining, and I have different disputes where they're complaining about the gas tax not funding enough of the highway trust fund. Well, first off, they need to go talk about how many ways they robbed the trust fund for non-highway projects. And let's go talk about that with rail and sidewalks and horse trails and all the other stupid things they do with our highway trust fund. This happens at the state and federal level. So the highway trust fund, just like the Social Security trust fund, gets robbed all the time. If it's called a trust fund, don't trust it. A trust fund means they can easily rob it, and that's what they do. So they're saying that they're not getting enough money in the trust fund. It's not going to be there, not enough to fund it through 2020. I think I heard 2015, 2017. I heard some other dates. And that they can't go out there and make plans for massive expansions with the current limitation on the trust fund, blah, blah, blah. And then they are saying that they're looking for alternatives. The other piece when it comes to the gas tax, they're saying cost to become more fuel efficient and we're not getting as much gas tax revenues. But, you know, yes, cars are getting more fuel efficient. Not a bad thing. But more and more people have larger vehicles like SUVs that may be a little bit heavier as far as wear and tear on the road than a compact car, but the gas they still get the gas tax from that. So there's that still going on. And then they keep giving benefits to people who use electric cars. Well, you know what? If you have an electric car, you should pay a higher fuel tax, energy tax, a different type of tax, not gas, obviously, because you're not using gas. But you pay a different type of tax for the use. But because they want everybody to use electric cars, which are still anti-pollution, I mean, they still take energy. It doesn't matter. It's crazy when they think that you're going to have a gas car that doesn't use energy. Well, they're shutting down the coal plants that provided electricity. So there's got to be another way. So when they're recharging, how much they have to pay on a tax to recharge it, how much they pay when they register the vehicle because they know they're not going to supplement what would have been for the gas tax. Other ways they could do it. But right now, they keep promoting a VMT, Vehicle Miles Traveled, some kind of device that they have to be able to use that when you go to get your gas, you will pay a per-mile tax. So if you've driven 50 miles, and they swear this doesn't see where you've been, it's not a GPS in that sense, it's strictly tracking how many miles you've driven. The encouraging part overall of the discussion is they really did seem to stay away from toll roads. Only the word toll road came up a couple of times. And so they were looking for a replacement to the gas tax or a way to usage, a true usage tax kind of thing, linking it to that. And they really were staying away from the toll roads. Otherwise, I would have been hearing toll roads every 5 minutes, I think, or every 2 seconds maybe. I don't know. But anyway, they weren't really pushing the toll roads per se. However, they went and had the VDOT, the Secretary of Virginia Department of Transportation, Sean Conafton. I'm terrible with people's names. I hate to destroy that. Conafton. He's the Secretary of VDOT, Virginia Department of Transportation, and they were acting like, wow, they've done so much with their transportation and this and that. What are they doing? Toll roads. And he was out there pushing public-private partnerships. They are using gas taxes to fund a rail system. Everything that VDOT is doing is anti-Tea Party, anti-taxes, anti-American. And so I want to encourage you to call. And here is the Secretary of Department of Transportation of the State of Virginia, Sean Conafton, 804-786-8032. He was really pushing public-private partnership. And everybody here had anti-American thing to do. And I did try to call his office this morning. I actually made 2 or 3 calls this morning, but I was a little bit too early. First off, I got the machine. It says they don't open until 8:30. And then I called at almost 10 o'clock, got the machine again. They don't open until 8:30, and it kept recycling. It would give me an option to push a button to go someplace else, but it wouldn't do anything. But tomorrow I will be more persistent, and I will get through to their office. And I'm going to remind them or give them a lesson about public-private partnerships. And I'm going to invite the Secretary to come on the show if he wants to talk about it and tell us why it's so wonderful, why tolls on I-95 would be so wonderful. But everybody needs to call the Secretary of Department of Transportation, State of Virginia, 804-786-8032, and tell them what you think about tolls on I-95 and what you think about public-private partnerships. We here know that public-private partnerships are the collusion of government and the private sector. It's the government's takeover of the private sector is really what it is. It's you go and you combine these things together, and then before you know it, any private sector is gone. Now, I'll tell you, when it comes to toll roads, obviously I don't like them. Anybody who knows me knows I oppose because the infrastructure is critical to so many things in this country, and it's not something the private sector can competitively provide. And it is critical to national security, emergency evacuations, emergency services, et cetera, et cetera. So when we talk about the private sector, totally on their own, absolutely no government involvement at all, could provide a road that was kept up correctly, maintained correctly, would have to be secured. I mean, they'd have to have their own patrols or whatever. If they truly, totally owned and operated the road on their own, then I might consider using it. But the way they do toll roads today, it's nothing but an extreme regressive tax on the people. And it's and on top of all the other taxes. I mean, technically, if I was to use a true privately owned toll road, I'd still be paying the gas taxes. So it would still technically, to that degree, be a regressive tax. But if it was totally owned by the private sector, which I don't think the private sector will ever totally own it, they'll always the government will always have their hand in the cookie jar routine. If there was any problems with that road, I'd sue them. If there were potholes and it was falling apart, we could sue them. We'd have options. Right thing. You don't have those options in government. You don't have that kind of control. But more to the point, toll roads are the wrong thing. If you're against toll roads on I-95, make sure you call the secretary, 804-786-8032. This is the secretary of Virginia, the secretary of the Department of Transportation, state of Virginia, Sean Connaughton. He was out there addressing the Senate Committee on Transportation, and I think they call it the surface transportation, the highway surface, whatever they call it, but it was transportation. Look for Barbara Boxer being the chair on it. And he was out there promoting public-private partnerships. Those are evil, anti-American. He needs to hear from us. Everybody needs to call him and tell him, what are you talking about? Are you an American or are you a traitor? Because that would public-private partnerships are a traitor. Traitorous, treasonous, selling out America's private sector, basically. Collusion, massive collusion of government and private sector. It's the wrong thing. And trust me, I will be on the phone with his office tomorrow. I did attempt it today. I didn't make it, but I will be out there again. Okay, let's see here. Has anybody... Oh, it has been a very quiet night tonight. See if you out there listening. But nobody at all in that chat room. I have not had the chat room be totally quiet all night, quite a while. So maybe they're out there... maybe it's because the government shut down. But hey, the government shut down did not shut down the chat room. And we can wrap it up on the craziness of this... government shutdown, and just keep promoting, keep encouraging Ted Cruz and the likes to do not cave in, do not be like Boehner and stab us in the back, to actually be an American. Support being an American, support being independent, support doing the right thing for this country. We have got to support people like Ted Cruz who actually stand up for what they believe in and what the people are demanding. It would be so nice. I mean, can you imagine Harry Reid ever actually representing the people? Oh, my God, I can't imagine it. I mean, it wasn't the people of Nevada who elected him. It was the Democrat establishment who kept funding him. And then the games the GOP party played with the GOP candidate as well, instead of helping out. So a combination. But we've got to get these kind of people out of office. You've got to get John McCain, go home. Leave us alone. Stop destroying your country. Stop being a treasonous traitor. Harry Reid, you are a treasonous traitor. Go home. Lindsey Graham, treasonous traitor, go home. Dick Durbin, treasonous traitor, go home. Why don't you take in your Muslim girl that you want to be an American? Let her live with you and see how fast she turns on you. Just like she laughed at you, you fool. Muslims laughing at you because you're so stupid that you care so much about this person. Yes, you want to help them be an American. She wants to be an American. Her parents brought her here. Oh, my God, you're pathetic. Dick Durbin, go home. The list goes on and on of those who need to go home. When it comes to some of the GOP people who truly, genuinely believe they should use the deficit ceiling to fight this battle, whatever, you know, I'll give you a little bit of leeway that, yeah, that's another approach. Is it the best one? I don't know. I'm not sure. But please be united. If you truly are against Obamacare, stand up and say it. And let's show, let's prove it's the Democrats who don't care about the people. It's the Democrats who are hurting the people. As it stands today, it's the Democrats and the Republicans who are hurting the people. You have way too many Republicans who are destroying the American people, the middle class. Like the likes of a John McCain. And Jeff Flake, you know, Jeff Flake, John McCain converted you. You were actually, I really liked you in the past. I really thought you were a conservative. But you're not anymore. You know, you people get up there and you lose it. That's why we have to have term limits. There have to be term limits, whether we go through the process of what Mark Levin is saying with the state constitutional convention kind of thing, or so we have to do something. We have to do something, but we have to be careful. We cannot allow them to totally destroy this Constitution. We have to restore the Constitution, not destroy the Constitution. There's a major difference. The term limits is a very, very big piece of it, and Mark Levin frequently talks about, term limits. We have to have term limits. And, you know, if the elections weren't so corrupt, we would have the way to term limit these people. But because of the political party establishments that are so corrupt, the elections are so corrupt, the technology that gets bought and paid for is so corrupt that we truly don't vote for. We don't have the representation of our choice. With very few and far between, can you really feel you have confidence that who you wanted to get elected was elected? There are so many things corrupt about that presidential election. If it was honest, we really don't know who would be there. The margins would have definitely been different. But I don't know that the White House occupier would be there if we had an honest election. Don't think he'd make it today. I think it would be even more so. It would be different today if the election was honest, which is a very big if. But we have got to do what we can to support those who truly believe in what we're supposed to and bankrupt these stinking political parties as much as we can. Get them out of the way. The term limits, when it comes to term limits, it should be to the tune of 2 years in the House, or two terms in the House, one term in the Senate. That right there is 10 years in Congress. These people don't need to be in 10 years in Congress. They do not need to be in Congress more than 10 years. These people say, well, two terms in the Senate. That's 12 years, people. That's not term limits. That's a career. And then you got to follow these people as they go up the food chain from the local. I don't want anybody in public office more than 10 years, period. I don't care what office it is. So they start as a mayor or a council person, a council member, a commissioner, whatever, at the local level. Then they go up to be a House member, then a Senate member in their state, then maybe the governor, and then they go into the Congress, then they go into the Senate, then they run for president. We do not need career politicians. We need less. Get rid of the career politicians. Elect Americans. Own your vote. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap it up there tonight. Like I say, tonight was going to be a short night anyway. Please get involved. Make the phone calls. You know, if you disagree with what I'm saying, that's fine. Just be an American. Be an individual. Own your vote. Own your opinion. Watch out what they're doing to all of us. You've got to pay attention to what is happening. If you do not believe in America, if you do not believe in the Constitution, then go someplace else. Why are you intent on destroying this country? But I think the American people are coming together. More and more, we're coming together. We are uniting more and more. Will it happen fast enough? Will we be able to hold out, sustain it? I don't know. I pray every day that we do. I say my prayer. I have my one-on-one every day with God and say, Dear Lord, help me to understand what you want me to do and what is the right thing to do. And I keep being told, keep promoting freedom, keep promoting the Constitution, keep promoting good versus evil. And there's a lot of evil out there. And on Monday, I'll talk a little bit more about the evil that I'm dealing with. Because I'll say one last quick thing here. For those who are local to Central Florida, October 14th, I'm going to be in court facing an evildoer, a person who did evil things to my daughter. And I fought them. Didn't quite win the grand prize, but these people are going to be held accountable. Any person involved will be in that courtroom on that day, and I will get to address the court on my concerns. So, this is Orange County Courthouse, 9 a.m. on October 14th, courtroom 7A. So if you get a chance and you're local and you want to be involved, show some support for good versus evil, because I'm out there protesting evil actions of individuals in our society. If these are the kind of things you do, you need to be held accountable and you need to stop doing them. And so that's and it's going to cover several things when I address the court. I don't know how long I'm going to be given. I'm going to try to wrap it up in 5 to 10 minutes because I'm not sure if they'll give me 2 hours. I don't think the judge would be happy with me if I spent 2 hours, but I'm going to be hitting on some very key points. And if you're against evildoers and you think we need to get back to the rule of law and core values, then please join me. And then, once again, we can promote the American's creed. We can promote what it means to be an American and continue to work that way, because that's what it would be about. Being there means Americans stand for values and the rule of law. Ethical, honorable human values, not evilness, not selfishness, not greed. So, anyway, please join me. And on that note, God bless America. Please, please be part of the second American Revolution to save our country. Please. On that note, good night, everyone.